Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
The most important question that little Lutheran children are taught to ask is this: where is this written? That is, can you prove this to me from the apostolic writings? That's key.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. As we began digging into this most comforting section of Revelation, we heard last time the voice ring out from the one seated on the throne, that is, the Lord Jesus Christ. Behold, I'm making all things new. Everything was being transformed, cleansed, made whole, restored to be what it was always intended to be. And we heard how that included us, our bodies raised, our souls healed of all their diseases. He assures us that this promise is one we could absolutely bank on. And he announced, it's done. It has transpired. He proclaimed himself the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, and the promise to give us freely the water of life, which we heard echoes of John 4 and John 7 and Isaiah 55. And this free water that gives eternal life, the image of the Holy Spirit, it's given to those who conquer in the faith and live as the family of God already in this age. But those who cave in due to cowardice, who break faith with Christ and embrace all sorts of detestable things that his word forbids, they will have their place alongside the devil in the horrors of the second death, the lake of fire, hell. Continuing then, a reading from Revelation, the 21st chapter, beginning at the 9th verse. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Revelation 21, verses 9 to 14. Let us pray. Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort from your Holy Word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, you're ready to ponder today's passage? Let's get to it. Verse 9. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. Now, remember that this book is the apocalypse or unveiling, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's all about him, the Lamb of God. But he has a bride, and you can't ever really know Jesus without knowing his bride, the church. They come as a package deal. Remember in John 19, when Christ, our great second Adam, fell asleep in death, how from his side, God took that from which his bride would be formed, blood and water, pointing to the holy sacraments. But just as during the time of his humiliation, Jesus, for the most part, looked like an ordinary Joe, so much so that Isaiah could say, foreseeing him, Isaiah 53, verse 2, he had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. But it was after his resurrection, time and again, that he displayed his full glory and splendor, like he did to John at the beginning of Revelation, or to Paul on the road to Damascus. But just as his glory was largely hidden in this age, so too, the glory of his bride, the church, his people, it's hidden beneath all kinds of weakness and sin and suffering. The church here does not appear in her glory. But John now is going to see what is hidden from earthly eyes in the present, the glory that is ours and that will be revealed in us on that joyous last day, when Jesus appears in glory, and we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. See 1 John 3, verse 2. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Verse 11. Having the glory of God, its radiance, like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. Almost echoes here of the temptation of Christ when the devil took him to a great high mountain to show him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. But this is no deceiver dealing with St. John. He's carried away by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, to this great high mountain where he has an unobstructed view of the most astonishing sight, the holy city, Jerusalem, floating down in the air before his eyes, floating down from heaven, shining with the very glory of God. It took his breath away as he saw what we truly are, but what now is hidden from our sight. He saw the radiance of the church like a most rare jewel, a jasper, and yet clear as crystal. I remember once hearing a teacher say that if a Christian now could see him or herself as he or she will be 1,000 years hence, the temptation would be great to fall down and worship that glorious being. You get a sense of that by how the beauty of what will be revealed as the church, shining, radiant, full of God's glory, is shown here to John. And don't lose this. The holy city, God's new Jerusalem, it floats down from heaven to earth. It touches down upon the earth, truly, at the points of the means of grace, where it's there but hidden. Yet this glorious city is what is covered over in the weakness of the church's earthly pilgrimage. Verse 12, it had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and on the gates, the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. Verse 13, on the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. Well, this is really similar to the visions Ezekiel writes about from chapter 40 to the end of his prophecy. Do you remember that in chapter 48, he speaks about the 12 exits of the city with the names of the 12 tribes, and that the name of the city as a whole was Yahweh is there? Chapter 48, verse 35. Johann Gerhardt, 17th century Lutheran commentator, says of the great high wall that it signifies peace and security. No danger from any enemies threaten her. And of course, where the Lord, there is angels. They're doing just what we read about in Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear them and delivers them. This, beloved, is the city that is sung about in Psalm 46. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. The holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Verse 14. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. foundations associated with the apostles. Where we've heard that before? Oh, yeah. Ephesians 2, verses 19 and 20. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. As I said last time, when we see what John describes here, then we'll know whether or not it was a misstep to elect Matthias to replace Judas instead of just waiting for St. Paul. St. Andrew of Caesarea, writing in the early 6th century, observes, "The foundations of the wall are the blessed apostles upon whom the church of Christ is established. Their names have been inscribed upon them as upon a public placard for the easy instruction of those who read them." This, people loved by God, is so vital. The church literally is built on the witness of the apostles, which we have recorded for us in the New Testament, as the authoritative key to unlocking the mysteries of the Old Testament. The church can never advance beyond what is explicitly taught in the New Testament. The most important question that little Lutheran children are taught to ask is this: where is this written? That is, can you prove this to me from the apostolic writings? That's key. For as St. Cyril of Jerusalem wisely said in the middle of the 4th century, "For concerning the divine and holy mysteries of the faith, not even a casual statement must be delivered without the Holy Scriptures, nor must we be drawn aside by mere plausibility and artifices of speech. Even to me, who tell you these things, give not absolute credence, unless you receive the proof of the things which I announce from the divine Scriptures. For this salvation which we believe depends not on ingenious reasoning, but on demonstration of the Holy Scriptures." No wonder, then, that Ecumenius, a couple centuries later, prayed, "May we all remain in there," that is, in the apostles' teaching, "by the grace of Christ, our guide and chief shepherd, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Right there is where we're going to call our halt for today, people loved by God. Next up, John will see that the one speaking to him, the angel, has a golden rod to measure the city, its walls and gates, echoes of Ezekiel again. Doing so, he'll confirm what his eyes had already told him. It was a perfect cube, 12,000 stadia square. That is about 1,380 miles. But the significance, as always in this book, is in the actual number given and not its English equivalent. 12 times 10 times 10. He sees that the city is huge and shaped exactly like something else he would have recognized from the Old Testament, the Holy of Holies. The wall was said to be of jasper, and then the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations were adorned with every kind of jewel. 12 are named, perhaps images of the 12 jewels that the high priest carried on the breastplate of the ephod in the temple. Most intriguing are the 12 gates. But each one made from a single pearl? The fathers have some interesting thoughts about that. The street of the city is described as pure gold also, but transparent or translucent like glass. Thus, basically, one massive jewel box that descends from God, glittering and shining with God's glory. Till next time, my friends, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.